Galatians chapter number 5, right before the book of Ephesians in your New Testament. When you get Galatians chapter number 5, stick your thumb or your finger in it and hold your place and go to Isaiah chapter number 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. I thought I was going to have a treat for you tonight. And I thought maybe while I preached, you could watch the Super Bowl. And my daughter let me down. I called her yesterday, and Brother Todd is a Superman fanatic. He's got all kind of Superman stuff. And I asked Ashley, I said, does Todd or Hayden have a Superman bowl, like a little cereal bowl? And Ashley said, yeah. I said, well, bring it tomorrow night. I'm going to set the Superman bowl on the pulpit, and they can watch the Super Bowl while I preach. Amen. But she let me down, so y'all can't watch the Super Bowl. Amen. Isaiah chapter 59. I hope you're holding your place in Galatians chapter number 5. We'll look at one verse in Isaiah 59, then go to Galatians. But I do want to preach on this thought tonight of the Super Bowl. I remember I used to have it in my office, and something happened to it when I changed offices. I had the famous speech by Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi was one of the winningest, or maybe was the winningest football coach of all time as he coached the Green Bay Packers. And he talked about or referred to the football field as a battlefield, as a war zone, if you might. Tonight, two teams will face off, or they are now, I guess, and they'll do battle. Some of them are playing hurt, they said. Some of them have pulled this and pulled that, and one of them's got a broke face, they said. I never heard anybody broke their face. This guy got his face broke, and they're playing like that. You know what that says to me? If those guys are willing to go out there like that, they must want that real bad. Amen. They must want that real bad. I mean, they make millions of dollars a year. They could just say, my knees hurt. I'll set this one out. My face is broke. I think I'll set this one out. But you know what? I believe there's something they all have a desire for. And it's a ring. And a trophy. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to see one of those rings. I've never seen a Super Bowl ring, but I saw a World Series ring. I sat down on the airplane and flew from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to here with Jim White. He was the center fielder for the Boston Red Sox. I mean, that thing is that big around. I mean, it looks small on their big old hands, but that's the biggest ring I ever seen. In other words, they're looking for a prize. You know what Paul said as he departed his life? Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Amen. You know what that tells me? This Christian life must be a fight. Yeah. He talked about us warring a good warfare as a soldier of Christ. Yes, he talked about us earnestly contending for the faith. It is a battle. Yes, would you agree with me? Amen. It is a battle. It is a battle. And sometimes we lose. Reality, right? You can't tell me you've won every spiritual battle you fought since the day you got saved. Brother, I've told you, I've laid on the sideline and licked my wounds many a day. There's even been those days, like those professional ball players, I've played hurt. I've had just to go on anyway. Somebody's wounded me. Somebody's done me wrong. I've gotten down over this or over that. But I know the cause is greater than my pain, so I go on in spite of it. And like Paul, when I'm done, I want to be able to say I fought a good fight. Amen. I kept the faith. Then he winds that thing up and he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's his Super Bowl ring. Amen. He's fighting for a prize. Only thing about our prize, we won't keep it. We'll give it back to the Lord. Amen? I want to show you something tonight. And we'll baptize and go to the house. In verse number 19 of Isaiah 59, the Bible said, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now I want you to understand something, what that standard is. A standard in the Bible, especially you see that mentioned several times, there was a standard bearer when they would go to war. A standard bearer, if you would be like, y'all pray for me, would be like when our fellas go to war, Brother Greg, wherever he's at, and they carry that flag. That is our American standard right there. That is our banner, if you will. Amen? That's our banner. And what that banner represents is the power of our nation.
Yes. Amen.
That banner represents every war fought has been won. Amen. Battles have been lost, but the wars have been won. Amen. And when they see that American flag, they go, nobody's ever beat that one before.
Amen.
That one's never went down before. It's flew half mass a time or two, but that one's never been defeated.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen? It's a testimony of our victories in the past. The Pittsburgh Steelers will go into the Super Bowl tonight having 5 Super Bowl trophies to their credit.
Yeah.
Amen. They ought to be feared. Them guys ought to say, man, these folks have won 5 of these things. They must know something about what they're doing. We better tread softly. We better be careful. Amen. But our standard bearer, the Bible said, the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Against who? Our enemy. Our enemy. Here's our standard tonight. It's that Christian flag. Amen. I'm talking about one that's never even lost a battle. I'm talking about the Lord. He's never been beat down. He's never been behind in points. He's never missed a field goal. Hallelujah tonight. God's banner over us is love. Amen. I'm glad he said he would go. Yeah, we got to fight battles, but we got a standard that goes before us. Amen. I'm going to face difficulty. I'm going to face tough decisions. I'm going to face temptation. I'm going to go through all these things that we go through in life. But I'm glad that I've got one. Brother Charles preached so eloquently on New Year's Eve. I've got one that is not only behind me and over me and under me, but I got one that goes before me. Amen. Aren't you glad about that tonight? I want to look at several thoughts tonight. Galatians chapter number 5. I want to look at the battles that we fight. Our battles that we face as Christians, we can categorize them into 3 areas. That is the battles within us. And by the way, can I just say that is your most serious battle? The battles that are within us. And then there are the battles that are among us. Amen? And then there are the battles that are without us. The battle with self, the battle with each other, and then the battle with the world. Amen? In Galatians chapter number 5, I want to look, first of all, at the battle within you. When you get home tonight sometime, I want you to read Romans chapter number 7. And you'll see a lot about what I'm talking about. Some of my favorite scripture, and I run to it time and time and time and time again. And the reason I go back to that scripture so often is I like to remind myself, if the Apostle Paul battled his flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because I don't know about you, I sure battle mine.
Yeah.
Paul said, when I would do good, he said, evil is present with me.
Yeah.
He said, I see another law warring with the members, or another member warring with the law of my mind. He said, every time, in other words, what he said, the more I try to do right, the more I mess up.
Yeah.
Amen. Can I get a witness right there?
Yeah.
Man, when I make up my mind I'm never going to do that again, I turn right around, I do the same thing again.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's the battle within you.
Yeah.
You see, when you got saved, the Lord saved your soul. But your flesh is not saved. Listen to me. If your flesh liked the taste of cigarettes before you got saved, it'll like it after. If your flesh had a temper before you got saved, it'll have a temper after you got saved. Amen. Did you know that flesh is the only part of you? It's not going to heaven. Amen. It's going to rot in the ground. It didn't have to be saved from hell. Amen. So we fight these battles. There is a new man. Any man being Christ, he's a new he's a new creature. I understand that. The only problem is there's two. Once we get saved, we have now become a schizophrenic. Can I get a witness? There's an old you and there's a new you. Amen. I wonder how many would give me a witness and say, I see my old me quite often. Amen. Me too. I look at that sucker in the face every morning. I tell it, I hate your guts. I hate your guts. Every time I look in the mirror, I hate your guts. You good-looking devil, I hate you. See, that's that flesh just rising up. Amen. But then there is a new nature also. There's a part of me, Brother Freddie, that wants to do right. There's a part of me that wants to try harder to serve God. There's a part of me that wants to do better in the ministry and do better at reading my Bible and praying and witnessing and all the things. That new man, he wants to do it, but that flesh is against it. So there is a battle within me. Now, when you first got saved, everything was great, right? Now, I don't know how it was with you, but with me, I mean, it was absolutely awesome. I laid down in my bed and I thought, I had no idea an individual could feel this way. I really didn't. I mean, man, I'd smoked dope and I'd done everything in the world to get high. And I thought, man, I felt good before, but I ain't never felt like this. And what it was the whole burden and the weight and guilt of sin was gone. And it was lifted off of me. And I lay there as a spotless lamb, brother, clean before God. All my sins were, I mean, it was awesome. Amen. Amen. Remember when you first got saved, you went to church, you loved everybody there?
Yeah.
I mean everybody. Oh, man, ain't she a blessing? Meanest woman in the church. Huh? But then after you've been saved a while, the battle sets in. That old flesh rises up. Amen? Now let's play ball tonight. Galatians chapter number 5. Let's look at our teams. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Now the works of the, what? Flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, look up here. There's your flesh team. There's your flesh team. If you'll read down through those things, that represents everything the flesh is. Come on, be honest tonight. That represents everything the flesh is. You say, well, I've never done any of those things. I bet you've thunk them. You ever wanted to kill somebody?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Jesus said, if a man look on a woman to lust, he committed adultery already in his heart. Yes, amen. Those things describe the flesh perfectly. Every one of them. But now, that's the old flesh team. Let's look at the spirit team. Verse number 22. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's read those again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now what we've done is introduced the two teams that are fighting the battles in our life. Every time that flesh rises up, it rises up under one of those categories.
Amen.
You think about it. Read back through them sometime. Every time your flesh rises up, it rises up under one of those categories. Amen. Now, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but if you'll look carefully, you'll find every member of the flesh team has a direct opposite on the spirit team. You say, well, there was more on the flesh team than there was in the spirit team. Yes, some of those things go together. They're in the same category. Every member of the flesh team has a direct opposite in the spirit team. In other words, every aspect of your flesh has a direct opposite, if you're saved, in your spirit. In other words, when God saved you, He put something in you called the Holy Spirit of God to battle and offset everything. He didn't leave nothing out. He didn't leave you without a weapon for anything your flesh could throw out. Amen. God gave you a way to overcome every single thing. They were talking today about one of those cardinal players, how he could run so fast and jump so high, but somebody had an answer how to handle that dude. Amen? We have things come up in our life, in our flesh, and we don't know how to deal with this. God does. And God gave us the tools we need. We just need to change teams. Amen? I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself rooting for the flesh team. Amen? You ever had those days when you'd just rather be mad? I don't want to forgive them right now. I want to be mad. Amen? I'm enjoying being the flesh. Leave me alone. I'll give you an example. In verse number 20, you've got hatred. But in verse number 22, you'll find its opposite, love. Did you know for the child of God, hatred has no place in our heart except for sin and the devil? Hatred has no place. It used to tear me up. My kids would say this all the time. I hate so and so. We ought not hate anybody but Satan himself. Amen. And our own flesh. Amen. Y'all all right? Hatred has no place in our heart. So you know what it did? When we got saved, we were full of hate. I was. I hated a bunch of, really hated, despised people. Especially Christians who I thought was hypocrites. Amen. But boy, when I got saved, God put something in there that can whip hatred every time. Hatred is a strong force, but love's greater. Amen. Love is greater. You won't outdo love. Amen. You say, preacher, I got a problem hating. Try loving more. Instead of nourishing the hatred, nourish the love. Amen. It's something you've got to work on. Amen. Boy, when I first got saved, of course I loved everybody, but then I got to listen to the preaching. It sounded like I was supposed to hate everybody. Are you with me? They didn't love nobody unless you just like them. You know what I had to do? I had to find a balance of that thing. Amen. Verse number 20, we see strife. But then in verse number 22, we see peace. I don't know of anybody who would rather live in strife than peace. I almost refuse to argue with my wife. I'm serious. I hate it. I can't stand it. I just let her do all the fussing. She don't fuss very much. Why? I can't stand strife. I can't stand it in the church. Amen. Amen. I'd rather have peace, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Listen to me. I'd rather have peace, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Jesus said He came that we might have peace. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
21, drunkenness. Verse 23, we find the opposite, temperance. 21, revelings. Verse 22, goodness. Now pay attention to me and I'll have you out of here in just a minute. The object or the job of each of the spirit team is to block its opposite on the flesh team. When those guys line up on the field to play football, they've got to be on their man. Are you following me? And I don't know all the positions, but for every position, there's an opposite on the other side. Is that right? Somebody help me out. I mean, when they line up on that football, they got I don't even know what all they're called. They got a right tackle and a left tackle and a guard and all this. But they've got somebody on the opposite team facing them on the other side. One's trying to push this way and the other one's trying to push them back the other way.
Amen.
You say, how in the world do you spiritualize football? That don't sound familiar to you.
Yeah.
That don't sound like where you live half the time. One's pushing you this way and one's pushing you that way.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Seem like you gain three steps and then you get pushed back four.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me tonight. Oh yeah, there's something very spiritual about that. And what we've got to learn to do is line our spirit team up where they go within us to keep that flesh team from pushing forward. Now let me give you just a little hint. It may discourage you. That flesh is never going to give up. It's going to be flesh till you die. It may change tactics along the way, but it's going to be flesh till you die.
Yes,
amen. So the job of each one is to block out its opposite. Now we must break down our team because each one has its own battle. In verse number 22, I want you to look at it very carefully. In verse number 22, the Bible said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now I want you to notice that love and joy and peace, they are qualities within to fight the battle within. That's what God gave you to fight the battle that's raging on the inside of you. What? Love, joy, and peace. Amen. Y'all with me? But then for the battle between us, he said there's long suffering. So that ain't got nothing to do with the battle within you. Long suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Those are to prevent war among us. What'll keep a church from splitting? Long suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Amen? And then there are those for the battle that we face without. Faith, meekness, and temperance. God has given us something for every area where we must do battle. But again, let me say the greatest battle that you have in your life is the battle within. Amen. We've got 9 players, 3 fight each battle. And we must all have these qualities in the energy of the Holy Spirit. Remember who our standard is. Remember who our standard is. Hey, if the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's got to be greater than the fruit of the flesh, which is hate. Right? Would you agree? That love has got to be greater.
Amen.
So what we're going to have to do is ask God to increase that in our life.
Amen.
The Christian life is not only a battle, but it's a process of growth.
Yes, it is.
You start out as a baby Christian as you grow. In other words, this is what gets me. And I've been the pastor of this church for 16 years come March. And it never ceases to amaze me how that throughout the 16 years of ministry, Brother Charles, the ones I see the most love in the gentleness, meekness, and the temperance, the ones I see the most of those qualities in are young Christians. The ones I see the most of that old flesh stuff in is people who've been saved for a long time.
Yeah.
Gotten bitter. They've allowed things to pile up in their life. They've allowed hurt feelings to hinder them. They've allowed unforgiveness to keep them away from God. They've grown cold to the effects of sin. Nothing bothers them anymore. They're as cold as 3 o'clock in the morning in Alaska somewhere. I'm telling you, something's wrong with that. It ought to be the other way around.
Amen.
Amen. Because as we grow in Christ, all these traits ought to grow in us. In other words, I've been saved 24 years. I ought to love a little bit more now than I did 24 years ago. I ought to be able to forbear the brethren, long-suffering. I ought to be able to put up with more than what I used to could. Amen.
Amen.
But when you run into Christians who have zero tolerance for people, something's wrong with them. That ain't nothing but your flesh. When you sit in this church and you judge somebody by the way they dress when they come in, hey, they got to learn. They got to learn. It's not your job to judge them. It's your job to lead them. It's your job to be the example. Amen. And when those young hotheads pop off and get stirred up, you'll just go love on them a little bit. Amen. We okay? This stuff ought to grow within us. The battle within you. How many of you still dealing with it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, boy, me too. Me too. But I'll be honest with you, I need help with that thing. I have to pray. The greatest hindrance in my life is me. The biggest problem I have is not anybody else. The biggest problem I have is me. I am my own worst enemy. Amen? You've been saved 25 years and you're still fighting yourself? Oh, yeah. Some days worse than others. Some days it's real bad. Amen? The battle within you. But then there's the battle among us. The battle among us. Now, we've been very fortunate. 16 years. No serious church battles. We've never had a split in 16 years. We've never had a faction leave and go off and start another church. Or we've never had a faction rise up and try to vote the preacher out, Brother Freddie. Not one time. Not one time. We've been through two building programs. Then we went through a total 13-mile relocation. We've never had a single no vote.
Amen.
Not once. As somebody said, I oppose. You know what that is? It's a miracle is what that is.
Amen.
Do you know what? That's unity.
Yes. Amen.
That's the fruit of the Spirit working in this church. Amen? The battle among us. I don't care how hard we try or what our track record is, we're humans.
Yes.
And the more of us you get together, the more disagreements we're going to have. Do you know what a cult is? A cult is an organization of people who all think exactly alike. Are you listening?
Yes.
A cult is where a leader gets up and tells everybody what to think, and that's what they think. But we're not a cult.
Amen.
We're a church full of individuals and we're as different as night and day.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got every type personality in this place you can imagine. We've got all different levels of education and background. And it's amazing. The most diverse group of people in the world is the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Yes,
some of us have absolutely nothing in common.
Amen.
Nothing. But we love each other.
Amen.
Isn't that weird, man?
Amen.
As long as we're together, we're going to have disagreements. Now, Brother Robbie, how long y'all been married, brother? 12 years. Have y'all ever had a disagreement?
Today.
Brother Tommy, how long you and Sheila been married? 32 years. Y'all ever had any disagreements? A few times. Let's get a newlywed. Brother Jason, how long y'all been married?
Almost a year.
Almost a year. Y'all ever had any disagreements?
Sure.
They ain't been married but a year. And they already fighting. I told you he's sorry. But y'all stuck it out, I guess.
Sure.
32 years? Brother Tommy, y'all, why? Y'all disagreed? You what? Why did you stay together? You love her.
Amen.
Huh. Are we on to something?
Yeah.
As long as we're human beings, we're going to have disagreements. Ain't that right, Sister Barbara?
Amen.
How many years, Brother Carlos? He ain't getting 50. I'm leaving that one alone. That's a mean, mean woman. I don't even. Brother Charles, as godly as you and Sister Janice are, and I don't say that jokingly, some of the godliest people I know. Have y'all ever had a disagreement?
Yes, sir.
You mean you and Janice have had it? Tell us about it, but no. Let's just conduct a little interview right here, bro. I mean, Charles and Janice fought, man, it must be serious. But they made it. And as a church, we've got to apply that same mentality. Hey, you made me mad. You hurt my feelings. You didn't do me right. But more than you hurt my feelings, more than you didn't do me right, more than I was hurt or done wrong, I love you. That'll stop every battle. You know why we lose battles among us? Because we've already lost the battle within us. Every single time. Amen. Somebody asked me who visited our church from the north, one of them Yankees from New York. And several years ago, they came and was here for our camp meeting. They said, Brother Eddie, why are there so many Baptist churches around here? I said, that's simple. They hate each other's guts. It's the truth. They hate each other's guts. I can get you and put you in my truck right now and drive you to three different churches. They all came out of one church. You can't name me but very few churches in this area that didn't split off something else. And I'm not talking about God laid it on somebody's heart to plant a church somewhere. I'm talking about half a crowd got mad at another half a crowd and left. I wonder how God can bless that. I've seen Him do it. But usually it's after that crowd's gone.
Amen.
Then God will bless the work. You know what happened? Before the battle among them ever started, the battle within them was already lost.
Amen, brother.
Something's wrong with Christians who will run completely to the other side of Walmart to keep from having to have a conversation with another Christian. There's a lady who used to come to our church, literally, when she sees me in public, will run. Well, I'm a predator by nature. If you run, that must mean you want me to chase you. I've told my wife in Walmart, I said, there she goes. She said, don't you do it, don't you do it. And I'll scratch you off of that buggy, man. I'll see which aisle she went down. I'll run down the other end of this stand right there. Well, hey, sis, how you doing? Man, we just thinking about y'all. It's so good to see you. Watch your old head just go. One day it's going to pop. I know it is. It's just a little like a tomato. I don't do that to be mean. I just lied right in front of God and everybody. I don't only do it to be mean. I want that person to know, no matter what happened between us, I can still look them dead in the eyeball and say, I prayed for your family. Are y'all down with that? Y'all okay? That's the battle among us. Yeah, they're going to have to learn to shake it off, ain't they, Tony? Let's face it, we're human. We're going to have disagreements. 16 years of being Charles Dyer's pastor. That's probably one of the greatest honors I've ever had, other than pastoring my mom and my grandmother. My Aunt Lily, it's been a great honor. But 16 years, I was telling the guys in class today, man, I took that church Brother Charles, he'll tell you, if you ask him privately, I didn't know nothing. I made some foolish mistakes. Here he is with that head full of gray-haired wisdom, all those years in the ministry. You know how many times he corrected me? Not once. You know what he did? He used to love me. And he allowed God to work in my life. You know what he did? I believe he had enough grace about him that he said, he'll learn. He shoot himself in the foot enough times, he'll figure it out. Pull a gun out of the holster before you pull the trigger. Amen. I appreciate that, Brother Charles. But in turn, I want to be able to show you the same grace. As you grow in your Christian life. Listen. People at best, well, I don't know other way to say it. They're stupid. And I'm one of them. How many of you ever done something stupid? Every one of us. So when somebody does something stupid, why don't you realize, they're stupid too. Amen. It's not just me. It's everybody. Amen. That's long-suffering, people. And we're going to have to be long-suffering with each other. There's a few of you, I've thought over the years, we're just going to have to kill them. We're going to have to cut their heads off, something. Lock them in a room, never let them out in public. But I've watched God grow and work in your life. Amen. How can we keep from the battles within us or among us? What we're going to have to do is keep the battle won within us. Amen. Amen. If we don't watch it, we'll lose the battle among us. Long suffering, gentleness, and goodness. I talked about the battle within us, the battle among us, and then there is the battle without. The battle with the world. The devil in this world will do everything in its power to take us down. Everything in its power to take us down as a church, as individual Christians. The devil is working in some of your lives right now in ways that none of the rest of us even know about. It's a personal battle. He will attack you personally to destroy you publicly.
Amen.
I say that again. He will attack you personally on a level where nobody even knows what's going on. So he'll destroy you publicly. So that family who doubted what you got was real will say, I told you. These televangelists worry me, commanding Lucifer to do this and commanding Lucifer. Who do you think you are? Best I can do is beg God to get him off me. Amen. The devil is a powerful, powerful force, church. He's ruined homes. He's ruined lives. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about Christian homes and Christian lives. He has taken great ministries to nothing. From a thriving place where people are being saved to an empty parking lot and a real estate sign in the yard. The battle without us. For that we need faith, meekness, and temperance. We must trust Him. We must trust Him. How did so many churches go so liberal that used to be so gun barrel straight? They lost the battle without. They got the idea that the way to attract the world to the church was make the church worldly. We got to have some temperance here. I'm sorry. As long as I'm breathing, there won't be no rock band in here. We'll sing out of that hymnal. Won't be no praise and worship band in here. And I'm awful. Y'all know I love music. I enjoy it. Well, it was mighty good this morning. I thoroughly enjoyed it. What are you saying, preacher? We got to draw the line somewhere. Churches all over America tonight, and God bless their heart. Some of them right here in our town. Their preacher's not preaching right now. They're watching the Super Bowl. Yeah, but preacher, a crowd would come. No, they wouldn't. You might get more of your church to come, but the world ain't going to come. Unless you're going to let them drink beer like they are down at Hooters and all them other places. Y'all all right? How is a pastor to justify the halftime show? This is the boss tonight. Bruce Springsteen, 59-year-old hippie. Serious heart attack. This ain't no place for that. Amen. We're going to work on that battle within us to keep from having a battle among us. And when we're not having a battle among us, we'll defeat the battle without us every single time. When we stand strong and unified as a church, if we're not fussing and bickering with each other, they ain't got a chance. Amen? Are you in a battle tonight? You may be in a little bit of battle in every one of those areas. But I guarantee you, you got the battle within going on. I just don't believe no such thing as super saints. We're all human. You may be in a battle among us tonight. There's a lot of things I don't know about. You may be sitting here tonight and you're not at peace with the brethren. There may be something between you and another couple, or you and another man, sir, or you and another lady, ma'am. One of you ladies may be mad over something somebody did with your child in the nursery, or who knows? Let them drink out of somebody else's sippy cup. I don't know. Some of the most foolish stuff I ever heard in my life. Wouldn't you like to win that battle tonight? Should come get in this altar and ask the Lord to help long suffering overcome the wrath and the bitterness. Amen. I'm not so foolish to think that everybody in here is 100% peace and fellowship. When I was a kid growing up, we had conference. Boringest junk I ever sat through in my life. First Wednesday night of every month, business meeting. To discuss how much toilet paper needed to be bought. How much money was in each account. But before they started that service, they always asked a simple question that just blew my mind all my life. I thought, this is a joke. How was it worded, Brother Charles? Yeah, all those in peace and fellowship with the brethren, let it be known by raising your right hand. And everybody in that church would raise their hand. I'm talking about a week before it split down the middle. They lied. I wouldn't dare ask that question in here. In a crowd this size and as close as we are, somebody's mad at somebody. You mark her down. Somebody's got their feelings hurt this week. Why don't we be overcomers tonight? And ask the Lord to help us with that. You say, well, it's not my fault. I didn't ask whose fault it was. It's still your responsibility to get over it. You let the Lord deal with the other party. You just make sure you're right. And when you get in the altar and get right about it, if you're still judgmental over the other person, you need to get in the altar again. Amen. As far as the battle without, we don't have a lot of problem with that. Maybe because we're taking care of the battle within, for the most part, in the battle among us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd.